Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good afternoon. No adjustment to your dial is necessary. You heard that right. Mike Oss, Jeff Nowak.
You got it.
It is summer, July 11th. And then it's like the slowest kind of nothing going on, and that's when everybody takes vacation. Well, you know, television and radio or those industries
we're here.
Do not take vacation. And so you have been
real high energy opening here.
I'm the same. Trying to explain kind of like, why, who are these? We're at the barrel bottom. But you've already been doing it.
Yeah, well, the good news is we have our phones back. I do want to shout out Danny Miller. He worked tirelessly to get our phones working, so it won't be a repeat of yesterday, fingers crossed, because we're going to have a few guests. We're going to have Todd Graffanini, play-by-play guy for the Pelicans, coming on here at 4:25 to give us the lowdown on the Summer League, which I know you're super excited about, Haas.
Well, they play the Lakers tomorrow night, yeah. Lost to Minnesota last night, 25 turnovers, kind of rough.
The Fighting Bronnies.
So you have to kind of watch the team now. There's so many, you know, new faces, you know. I'm interested to see. I was going to ask Todd, when you think of all the things that have happened, and I don't like the word normal, but really the Herb Jones signing is about the only typical thing that has happened to this team in 5 months, 4 months.
You know, it's funny. We were talking, me and Charlie were talking yesterday during our 2.5 hour podcast on the radio about, okay, who's the next guy to get a big contract extension? And we kind of landed on Herb Jones. And, you know, we were talking about it in the abstract because, like, he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's coming off a season where he played 20 games due to shoulder injuries. Surely they're going to want to wait and see him back on the court. You know, his name had surfaced in a lot of trade rumors. I think there was still some idea that maybe they would move on from him. Nope. They locked him up through 2029, another 3 years, $68 million on that deal. And I think it's a smart move if you are committed to him, because he comes back, plays all NBA, first-team defense again. That deal after next season would have been a lot more expensive. So, you know, I think what stood out to me in the Joe Dumars era so far, the short-lived Joe Dumars era to this point, has been he's being very decisive. Like, he's not sitting on the fence with certain players. He's not saying, let's see what happens. He's saying, hey, we're going to ship C.J. McCollum out of town. We're going to figure something out. We're going to get a scorer in here who can kind of fill the gap until we can get DeJounte Murray back. We're committed to Zion Williamson. We're not going to put any question marks out into the universe. We're going to send him to the draft. We're going to make it clear that he is part of our future. And we already locked up Trey Murphy. He's under contract for the next several years. Now we're going to lock up Herb Jones and, you know, make decisive trades in the draft. Like, we want Derek Queen, we're going to go get him. I'm not a huge fan of the trade itself, but I like the idea. And we'll see how it works, right?
Well, this is a text that came in. It's a 225 out of the 225, and it's, why did the Pels cut Boston and Reeves? He's the three-point shooter you need. With Zion, he was better than Hawkins. What are they doing? Could they still re-sign? It might be a question for Todd as well, but I'm just saying it's, you know.
Antonio Reeves is on their summer league roster, so it's not like they're cutting bait with him entirely. I think it's just a numbers game at this point. You're trying to make some things work with the trades and with the draft. You know, Brandon Boston, I just kind of feel like, is a guy that he's a guy, right? like he was a guy that served you well last year when you desperately needed bodies. He's not going to be a rotational piece for you. You know, I don't even know where he is right now, but, you know, he did get showcased, so he's probably going to land somewhere. He feels like the type of guy who's going to go and have like a long, lucrative career in Europe. And we're going to be talking about him 10 years down the line. And he's going to have like a statue like Stephon Marbury does over in China. You know, another text came in. What do you think of Fears, Queen, and Peavy? Micah Peavy was a second-round pick. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen. Micah Peavy's interesting. I don't think he had a great game. But he reminds me so much of Josh Hart and the way he goes out there and just fights. And he can score at multiple levels. Not a great shooter. But I did watch him a good bit. because you know, I watch a lot of Big East basketball, and he just finds a way. Like, he reminds me of Josh Hart a lot, and there are worse things to be than kind of a try-hard Josh Hart type player.
Yeah, very much so. So we'll talk with Todd Graffinini, the Pelicans play-by-play, coming up about 4:25, and also David Seifert, the director of college scouting, D1 Baseball, the Major League Baseball draft preview. That draft begins on Sunday. We'll have, of course, our triple option at 5:45. And later in the show, we'll have Dolph Jackson. He is the host of Keeping It Real, Who Dat Sports Podcast, and the founder of Come On In Sports Network. We'll talk about the Saints. And at some point throughout this 3-hour stretch, we will hear from Caleb Janazich. Ah, yes. He is the driver of Bigfoot, the Hot Wheels monster truck celebrating 50 years in action. I talked to him this morning at the Smoothie King Center. They're there this weekend. Hot Wheels are, and Jeff and I were talking about it. It's not Monster Jam. There's not competition. There's like 39 cars and vans that they just annihilate.
Yeah.
And this one is, it's called the Glow and Fire. They turn the lights off in the building. And the trucks are LED lit. The first half are LED, and then the second half of the show is pyro. And I'm like, I said, you know, as the media relations person for this building, I don't know if I'm thrilled with the title of this show, but it's 12:30 tomorrow, 7:30 tomorrow, and 2:30 on Sunday. But he's a pretty cool guy. I mean, he's driving. So the Superdome celebrating 50 years, August 3rd, and Bigfoot, the monster truck, also celebrating 50 years.
It does amaze me how long these teams kind of stay in operation. I was out there for Monster Jam a couple months back. I can't remember exactly when I was. But, you know, I've always been partial to the let's crush some stuff monster trucks. Like, I don't need the NASCAR point system and the races and whatever and, like, let's do endo or whatever they're called. Like, I want to see some destruction. So, you know, I fully endorse that part of the equation, because that's what I grew up with. Like, I feel like I remember going with my dad and just seeing like a row of school buses get destroyed.
Right.
Well, I missed that.
I talked to the tour, and I was like, where do these cars come from? Right. They're in terrible shape, and they rent them from the, you
know, rent them
from the pound. You know, they're getting ready to get crushed.
Yeah.
And then they're all there this morning, you know, in their natural colors. And then they paint them all yellow, green, and orange. I mean, just with a spray gun. And so right now there's 40 yellow, green, and orange vehicles. And then when it's all said and done, take them back. Crush them. You were going to crush them anyway for the steel and the material. Do that anyway.
I am always amazed to see the Superdome filled with dirt. Like, it's jarring when you walk in there, because it's amazing to me how quickly buildings like that, and it's just not just a Superdome, like it's any arena, can just turn over the surface into something that it's completely different. Like, it's not even recognizable. Like, you wouldn't even know a football team plays there if you just kind of dropped out of the
right.
sky.
But it takes a while to build. Now, obviously, I'm putting on my other hat. I'm giving you the inside scoop.
Sure.
If you want to, after the show, we can go see the dirt. Dirt lives here. They don't travel with dirt. They own dirt, keep it in New Orleans East.
So, but it's the same dirt every time?
Yeah.
They own
the dirt. Keep it in New Orleans East. Time for the show. Go get the dirt. Bring it in and lay it out. And it does take about 5-6 days to put it up. But literally, next morning afterwards, gone. Like, it didn't happen.
Now I'm going to have to check into my investment portfolio and see if I've got any dirt holdings in there.
It feels like I do. Sometimes you never know.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.